Nothing like a good name and a good testimony as we bear the name Christian and our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Well, I hope all you fathers are having the time of your life today. Most of you have probably received something new. How many have received something new? Oh, a few. Good. Well, if you haven't, here's a new product for you. It's called Ticker, and it's a wristwatch that counts down your life so you can make every second count. It became available in April 2014, boasting thousands of pre-orders, believe it or not. The Ticker allows you to watch as a dot matrix screen displays the seconds that you have left on the earth as they disappear into a black hole. Your estimated time of death is, of course, just that, an estimated time. Ticker uses a system like the one used by the federal government, this is in the United States, to figure a person's life expectancy, and then it converts that to a countdown of years, months, days, minutes, and seconds that you have left on the earth. And the effect is sobering. A sort of incessant grim reaper reminding us that time is indeed running out. Ticker's inventor is a 37-year-old Swede by the name of Frederick Colting. And he says he invented this gadget not as a morbid novelty item, but as an earnest attempt to change his own thinking. Colting, a former grave digger, said, "The occurrence of death is no surprise to anyone, but in our modern society, we rarely talk about it. I think that if we were more aware of our own expiration, I'm sure we'd make better choices while we are alive." That's why he calls it Ticker. But he calls it the happiness watch himself. It's his belief that watching your life slip away will remind you to savor every moment here on this earth. Well, I don't suppose anybody's going to rush out and buy a Ticker watch today. As long as your ticker is pumping blood, you're happy about that. But the reality is that we only have one life. And some lives are shorter than others. Someone said that life is like a coin. You can spend it any way you want, but you can only spend it once. The clock is ticking. And God has allotted a time for each one of us to spend on this earth. And he expects us, especially believers, to use the time, as the Shorter Catechism says, to glorify God, that we've been singing about this morning, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. A life lived in ignorance of God and his word is a life that is wasted. It's not being a good steward of the time that he has given to us. Paul said of Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, "That I may know him, then the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being more conformed to his death." And this must be the passion, I believe, of all of our lives, that we would know him better. If we're going to give an account of every idle word that we speak, we are going to give an account for the time that we've had on this earth and how we have used it. Let's not look at time as something that we can waste. Let's not look back on our lives and realize that with regret that we have spent too much time watching TV, too much time reading, too much time on pleasures, too much time on playing video games, too much time on texting, too much time on Facebook, and everything else that we can spend time on. And that we didn't get to know our God. The man Moses was known in his day as one of the humblest people on the face of the earth. And he learned humility through the things that he suffered. He was a murderer. He was a man on the run. And yet God caught him and he chose him to lead his people out of a situation of bondage into a land that was described as a land flowing with milk and honey. And it was freedom that they were going to experience. But you know, Moses was counting the cost of God choosing him. He made every excuse that there was in the book that he couldn't do what God wanted him to do. His first excuse was, "I'm not worthy." He said this to God in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out?" And he may have been thinking back to that time when he killed the Egyptian, and he's probably thinking, "God, you don't know who I am. I'm the guy that killed the Egyptian. I'm a murderer." But God's response to Moses' excuse was simple. "Certainly, I will be with you. Certainly, I will be with you." And you know what? He was with Moses. But we've all been where Moses was, I think. "Lord, I don't have the ability to do what you want me to do." And we have all kinds of excuses for not giving our time to the Lord. And you may be feeling like Moses today, unworthy. You may be saying, "Why would God want to use me? I'm really not worthy. Doesn't he know who I am inside? Doesn't he know what I did yesterday? Doesn't he know what I did last week? Doesn't he know what I did last month? If he knew, he wouldn't want me to be his servant." You know what? There have been many times when I have felt that I'm not worthy to serve the Lord. And the truth is that none of us are, but on the flip side of that coin is God who chose us and a God who is with us. And he's with us at all times. And he wants my life, he wants your life, he wants my time, he wants your time today. And the important part is that we are willing to give of ourselves to the Lord, and he definitely will do the rest. As the Apostle Paul said, that we would be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service of worship. Moses also worried about whether people would believe him. He worried about the fact that he wasn't an eloquent speaker. And he finally ran out of excuses and gave himself over to God's control. And this is all that God is asking of any of us today. He wants us to give him the time of our lives here on earth. He wants us to let him control the agenda. He doesn't want us to look back on our lives with regret, saying, "I haven't accomplished anything with my life." You say, "I'm too old to be of any use to the Lord." You know, God doesn't care about your age. He just cares about your heart. Remember, Les Fry was here a few weeks back, and he told us about the man who was 103 years old. He got saved, but he was led to the Lord by his brother, who was 107 years old. We're never too old. The most elderly person in our assembly today is one of the greatest prayer warriors that we have in our midst. Amen. And she is not about to lay down and say, "I'm too old to do anything." God uses her. God continues to use her. And she spends time in prayer. It's great stewardship of her time. Moses gave his life to the Lord. He grew to know his God and knew the value of spending one's life serving the Lord and obeying the word of God. And he knew that his time on earth was in the hands of Almighty God. And we should too. Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses that we're going to look at in a few minutes. It's one that talks about life and death, about time and eternity. And William MacDonald said this, "Everyone should think of eternity in time." That's where we're going to spend the rest of our time, or the rest of our existence, I should say, before time will end and eternity will begin. Everyone should think of eternity in time. Before long, time will end and eternity will begin. Moses had been through a lot by the time he uttered the prayer that we're going to consider in Psalm 90. He had experienced the unfaithfulness of God's people, worshiping a golden calf. He had the experience of being up on the mountain, you'll remember, and God gave him the Ten Commandments, and that's what he came down to. He listened to complaints from the people day in and day out. He had experienced the spies going into the land of Canaan to scout it out, and they brought back an evil report, all except Joshua and Caleb, and it discouraged the people. They didn't want to go in. Their report was, they'll ruin us. They're bigger than we are. We can't take them. And so God judged them, and God didn't allow those men 20 years of age and over to see the promised land. And they died in the wilderness. They didn't get to see the land of milk and honey. And as you can imagine, throughout those years of Moses wandering in the desert, he saw a lot of death in those years. And when there was no doubt that as he saw all of that, that his heart was broken. Probably as he thought about what could have been for those people, his heart was breaking. Every time the death bell rang, it was a reminder that time had ended for someone. The essence of his prayer in Psalm 90 is this: God is eternal, death is inevitable, use your time on earth for God's glory. So let's look at Psalm 90 for a few moments this morning. It's a prayer of Moses that says, the man of God. What a title. The man of God. That's what we all desire, to be known as men and women of God. Moses was a man of God. And we read these words in Psalm 90. Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to end, you are God. Let's just pause there for a moment. This speaks about God's eternal existence and his great faithfulness to his people. Moses confidently rested in the wisdom of his God. God was his home. God was his protector. God was his dwelling place. God was his tabernacle. And you know what? God, over the centuries, has not changed. He is still God, the eternal God. He is still the only safe dwelling place for the soul of man. The best use of a man or a woman's time here on earth is in service to our living Lord God. It's making God our home, our resting place, turning everything, including our time, over into his hands. You know, Frances Ridley Havergal had it right when she wrote, "Take my moments. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise." How often do we do this? How often do we realize that every person that we rub shoulders with on a daily basis is a divine appointment by God? How often do we turn the order of our day over to the Lord? Luther did that. He said, "I have so much business to do today that I can't do it unless I spend at least 3 hours in prayer." But most of us would look at that as, it's kind of a waste of time. I got to get on with my day's work. But Luther didn't see it that way. He realized, as did Moses, that God is eternal and must be our dwelling place, and he must manage our time. Is God really your dwelling place today? Is your trust placed in his Son, Jesus Christ, as the keeper of your soul for eternity? You know, we're so good at making careful preparations during our brief sojourn here on this earth, aren't we? We get our home, we get our cars, we get our insurances, our investments, our families, all the comforts of life, and that is how we spend our time. Of all the preparations we look after in this life, the most important is often forgotten. It's the time when we are going to meet our God. God, through the prophet Amos, challenged those in Israel who refused to repent, to return to him and return to him with these words, "Prepare to meet your God." And he's saying the same thing to you today. He's saying the same thing to me. Prepare to meet your God. If you aren't saved today, you are not prepared to meet your God. If you are saved today and you're frittering away the time, you're going to meet your God. You're going to give an account for those minutes. Are you prepared to meet your God? Because death is an appointment that each one of us is going to keep. A friend of mine told me on Thursday that his nephew had died. Brett was 21 years old. He had a passion to serve the Lord, and he wanted to spend his life serving Christ, and so he signed up for a leadership training program, something like a boot camp for Christian Navy SEALs. And he was supposed to carry Bibles into forbidden territory. Well, on the last day of the training, the leader gave them this challenge to run the race with endurance. And they were in Thailand. It was very hot, and it was their very last assignment for that day was to walk, run, or crawl the last 10 miles to the center where they would be having their supper that day. Everyone arrived except Brett, who had collapsed along the way and was found near the bank of a canal by a Thai person, and was taken to the hospital. But he died there of heat exhaustion at 21 years of age. 21. But Brett was prepared to meet his God as well. And he passionately served the Lord during his time on life. He planned to be a missionary that would take Bibles to people that had never heard the word of God before, and yet the Lord decided that his time on earth was done. Moses knew all this, this all too well in his days of wandering with the nation of Israel in the desert. Death was something that was all too familiar to this great man of God. And he knew it could happen at any time. Look at his words now in Psalm 90, verse 3. "You turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, you mortals. For 1,000 years are as a passing day, as brief as a few hours.'" Think of Methuselah, who lived almost 1,000 years. To God, that was just bang. Imagine what our lives are like. "You sweep people away like dreams that disappear. They are like grass that springs up in the morning. In the morning it blooms and flourishes, but by evening it is dry and withered. We wither beneath your anger. We are overwhelmed by your fury. You spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all. Did you ever think of that? He sees them all. Every single one of them. Sometimes we have a sort of a scale of what we think is a serious sin and what isn't, but God sees them all. He counts it all. It's all sin to him. We live our lives beneath your wrath, ending our years with a groan. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80, but even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly away. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath is as awesome as the fear you deserve. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. In all his wanderings, Moses understood that life is just a wisp of time and that we should be diligent to understand how brief it is so that we can grow in wisdom. So that we can manage our time in such a way that God will be glorified, as we've been singing about today, and honored. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God and his glory while we are here on this earth. And we must be good stewards of the time that he has given to us. Let's look for a few moments at the life of our Lord Jesus. This man who lived 33 short years on the earth, and when he was of age 30 approximately, he began his ministry on the earth. And I have some scripture that I was going to read, but I'm not going to read that. I'm going to skip over the scripture and just kind of reiterate what Jesus was doing. His day began in Capernaum, and it was a Sabbath day. He went into the temple, and he taught the people, and the people were just simply amazed at his teaching that day, and they wondered where this person came from. There was a man in the synagogue that day that Jesus healed. He was a lunatic. He was demonic, and Jesus cast out that demon. And the demon said to him, Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Isn't it interesting that this demon knew who Jesus was? He knew exactly who he was. They knew his power. They knew that he was the Holy One of God. But what do you think about Jesus today? You know, the disciples were asked the same question, and Peter ended up saying, after reiterating a few things, that you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. That's who you are. You know, it's one thing for us to know about Jesus. Many people today know about him, but many people also don't know him, haven't put their trust in him, believed in him for the salvation of their souls. Jesus cast out the demon. People were amazed. And Jesus moved on from there to the house of Peter, where he healed Simon, Peter's mother-in-law, grabbed her by the hand, raised her up. She was sick with a fever, and she went on to serve them and prepared a meal for them. But this is what really struck me. That evening, after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick and with various diseases and cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he didn't allow them to speak. And then, I can imagine after that day, he was tired. And he wanted rest. His body was probably crying out for rest. But here's what we read in verse 35 of Mark 1. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went to a secluded place to pray and was praying there. One of the first things we do after a day like that is to grab our pillow and put it over our heads and get some more sleep. Jesus spent the entire day teaching, preaching, serving, curing, and he must have been tired. But prayer was a very, very important part of his life. It was a necessity to him. But we find it very hard to pray, don't we? Why is prayer so low on our list of priorities? I think because we don't realize the profound effect that our prayers have. You remember the people on the day of Pentecost were healed, were saved. 3,000 of them, men, and probably as many women, and who knows how many children, were saved that particular day. But it was massaged by 120 people who were in an upper room praying before it all took place. You know, the Brooklyn Tabernacle is what it is today because God's people gather regularly for prayer. The prayer meeting is what Pastor Cimbala calls the thermometer of the church. And he said that their prayer meeting, if their prayer meeting ever faltered or failed, even though they had 10,000 people in their congregation, he would think that they were in trouble. And he wrote this in Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. Prayer cannot be taught by principles and seminars and symposiums. It has to be born out of a whole environment of felt need. If I say I ought to pray, I will soon run out of motivation and quit. The flesh is too strong and I have to be driven to prayer. To pray. And you might be thinking, of course, the people at the Brooklyn Tabernacle should pray. Look at what they're dealing with every day on the streets. They're dealing with people who are thugs and want to rob them. They're dealing with all kinds of different situations, rapists, murderers, you name it. They deal with it. They should be praying. But we should be praying too. We should be praying for marriages that are falling apart. We should pray for the person in our midst who is suffering from Alzheimer's. We should pray for the family that has just lost a loved one. We should pray for our lost family members who don't know the Lord yet. We need to pray. Prayer isn't a waste of time. It's a wise use of time. Jesus must have believed in it because he prayed often. He prayed before he made big decisions like choosing his disciples. He went out to a mountain and he prayed all night out there. Why should we be good stewards of the time we've been given? Well, the Bible gives us the answer quite simply in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. We should make the most of our time because we are living in evil days, and we are. God's truth is being compromised. Human sexuality is being compromised. The family unit is being compromised. Morals are being compromised. The gospel is being compromised. Youth today are not learning basic things about God at all in their homes. We are living in evil days, and we have to make the most of our time. But you know what? Time is ticking away for all of us. And we don't need a ticker watch to tell us that. In fact, in just this short time that we've been together this morning, almost 11,000 people would have entered eternity. Many of them without knowing Christ as their Savior. The best use of our time is given to serving the Lord Jesus in whatever capacity he wants us to serve. Because it's a wise use of time, and the days are evil. And I think we have time to close with a song. I'd just like to pray before we do that. So let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we, as we think about our God and time. Father, we bow in your presence this morning. And we're so thankful for the days that you've given to us. Thankful, Lord, for the strength that you give to us to live each day. But God, our heart's desire is that you would help us to number our days, that we may grow in wisdom, that we may grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, I commit this wonderful audience to you, every family, every person that's here today. And may they realize today that certainly you will be with them. We just have to call on you, and you will answer us and show us great and mighty things that we don't even realize. So we commit them to you, and Lord, may we sing with exuberance as we think about our great God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.